The Wemmicks were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. All day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. People spent their day sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around him and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots.
"He deserves lots of dots,"
the people would agree with one another.
"He's not a good person."
After a while, Punchinello believed them.
"I'm not a good Wemmick,"
he would say. One day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden, and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. "That's the way I want to be," thought Punchinello. "I don't want anyone's marks." So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it.
"It's easy,"
Lucia replied.
"Every day I go and see Eli."
"Eli?"
"Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him."
"Why?"
"Why don't you find out yourself? Go up the hill. He's there."
And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away.
"But will he want to see me?"
Punchinello cried out. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots.
"It's not right,"
he muttered to himself, and he decided to go and see Eli.
Many of us question a lot about who we are supposed to be. Maybe that used to be reserved for just adolescents, you know, this time when we are in middle school and high school, and then as we grow up and get out on our own, we're supposed to do so with the idea of this is who I am for the rest of my life. But it seems as though even as we age, especially nowadays, we continue to acknowledge and also talk about the fact that we're not still really sure who we are or who we're supposed to be. And we kind of acknowledge that that feeling never really leaves us. It seems to follow us, this wondering and this question about who we are. And of course, we have many voices many times telling us who we are, who we're supposed to be. It can be at home, it can be at school, in our jobs or our career path, our friends, our enemies. It could be the person shouting out of a moving car. There are also many secondhand voices telling us our identity. On television, social media, everything that we see tells us who we are supposed to be, how we should talk, how we should dress, what we should do, what we should not do. All of these voices. And all the while, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we wonder over and over, so who am I? Who am I really? Who am I supposed to be? Or we might ask, who do I wish I was? Who do I wish I could be? In all of these voices, all of these expectations that are either placed upon us or that we put upon ourselves, who is God telling us we are? Who is God telling us who we are supposed to be? Who does God continue to assure and affirm us who we are? And so this is one of the many reasons why this summer we're looking at the letter of the Ephesians under this question, who am I? Because this letter, for a few chapters it may have, goes really deep into this question of identity, of who we are supposed to be. trying to answer this question. So the writer Paul may be writing less about who we are and more about what does God see in us? What does God truly see? And then telling us, here's what I see in you. Here's what I see in all of you. This is who you are. It is our hope that in these 11 weeks, we will continue to experience and journey through that together. So today we open up with chapter 1. Chapter 1, which does kind of have a lot of churchy language in it. It is kind of dry sometimes, I think. But it does begin to sort of paint this image of our identity, what we might call the Imago Dei, the image of God. And this is a thought and a belief that is very powerfully ingrained in our DNA, not just as United Methodists, but as simply children of God. Paul writes first in this letter who he is, and then he explains who God is. And in the midst of all that, starts to piece together who we are. Now, sometimes we need that voice to remind us, especially in the midst of all the other voices trying to say who we're supposed to be. Sometimes we need to be reminded, or maybe more importantly, to hear for the very first time who we really are. And so I invite us to hear now these words from the first chapter of Ephesians that Cindy will read to us from the passage. But then I also invite our guest speaker, the very soon-to-be Pastor Jason, to unpackage this with us.
Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Hallelujah. He has also put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Lesson one as a pastor, the on switch. The other morning I made tea as I woke up, like I do many mornings, and I put it down on my table, and I went in to take a shower, and I came back out looking forward to my nice cup of tea, and it was nowhere to be found, and I looked all over for it. I started to question, was that yesterday? No, that was today. Where'd my tea go? There's not even anybody in here. Then pretty soon I figured out there had been someone in there, and one of the girls had moved it, put it away in the sink, and I didn't have my tea that morning. And I said, you're obsessed with order just like your mommy. You got to come up and move my stuff just to make it orderly and put it away. And I started to think after that, wait a minute, what did I just speak into my daughter's life? I wonder how often I speak into her life, what it is that I'm thinking about what she has done, and how often do I say, that's who you are? How many other people speak into her life like that? I started to think about the people that had spoken into my life that way. Often it's somebody close to us who knows us well and cares about us, and they get it right. It's meant in a loving way. It's affirming. But sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes when people tell us who we are, they get it tragically wrong, because not only did they get it wrong, but we accept their statement as truth. And when that happens, it often changes what we think about ourselves and who we think we are and how we behave and who we become. And by the time we get around to trying to answer that question, who am I, for ourselves, most of us are such a bundle of misinformation, misunderstanding, we're hurt, we're confused about our identity, that we haven't got a hope to figure it out. Between the things others tell us that we are and the things we want ourselves to be, it's no wonder so many of us are lost. Maybe like me, some of you have been told who you are. Maybe like me, some of you have started to accept those things as the truth. Maybe you've heard things like, you're too slow. You're not smart enough. You're too fat. You can't do that. You're just a girl. You can't do that. You're gay or lesbian or bi or transgender. Or maybe like me, some of you have believed your own stories about who you are. I'm in control of my own life. I'm more important than many other people. My wants and needs are more important than the wants and needs of other people. I have no responsibility for my neighbor's well-being. At least I'm a better person than that person. So maybe like me, believing yourself and others about who you are has changed who you've become. And you're wondering how you can untangle the mess that you and others have made of yourself. But friends, there's another source for an answer to who am I. This source is God, who created each one of us. But people tell us all the time who God is also. That's what it was like for me 5 years ago when I walked in here. I was confused. I was lost about who I was. I was looking for something, but I didn't even know what I was looking for. I was suspicious of God. I was even angry at God. Because I'd been told that when we come to God, God has expectations of us. We have to beg forgiveness. We have to behave a certain way. We have to dress in our best clothes. We have to pray like King James prayed and read the Bible the same way. We have to change and become something different so that God isn't offended by us. We have to become a person who fits the Christian mold. And if we don't do this, we're not worthy of God's presence. Those are all things I was told about God, and I believed it. But what if I was wrong? What if I was as wrong about who God is as I was about who I am? That's what I started to question as I came here. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would come to know God so that God can give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see, when we meet God, he reveals things to us. The God who made us has something to tell each one of us about who we are. And the God who made us also has something to tell us about who God is. So 5 years ago when I walked in this room, I started to come to know God. I learned that we're all children of God, and he loves and embraces and celebrates each and every one of us. And no one is carved out of that love. I learned about grace for the first time, and all that time I'd never learned about grace until I came here. How the grace is there for each of us before we even ever know to look for it. How it's a gift given by God, not a reward that we earn. How no one can deny that gift from God. How no one can deny me receiving that gift from God, no matter what I do or who I am. So if you've been misinformed about what God would say about who you are, he speaks to each of us. He says that there's no such thing as too slow or too fat or not smart enough, and that he didn't make women less than. Women are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he tells us that he doesn't make mistakes. So we should stop treating our LGBTQ brothers and sisters like they're a mistake or less than, and start loving them as we love ourselves. Maybe you've been told all sorts of things about who you are. Maybe you've also been told all sorts of things about who God is. And you've come to a place where you're lost and broken or just plain confused in life. And like me, you're looking for something, but you don't even know what you're looking for. You may have been told that God approaches us with demands, but God approaches each of us with an invitation. When I walked into this same room, the same service, I met God. Then I came to know God, and the eyes of my heart were enlightened, and God spoke to me about who I really am, and God showed me the hope to which he's called me. And as I accepted God's grace, I made a commitment to God that day and every day since. And what I realized is that God doesn't demand that we change ourselves. God made us. God opens the eyes of our hearts so that we can see who we already are. And when we finally see who God is, and we finally see who God made us to be, we can finally begin living as who we truly were made to be. And we can see the richness in which we were made to live. He's blessed us. He's chosen us. He's destined us for adoption He's freely bestowed upon us and lavished the gifts of his grace upon us. Friends, when you meet God, you're changed by the experience. What is God inviting you into this morning? What falsehoods are distorting who you are, or how you see God, or how you see your neighbor? 5 years ago, I walked in here, and I finally listened to God's invitation. And when I met God that day, I was changed by the experience. What do you think might happen if you listen to God's invitation to you?
You may have noticed some white pieces of paper on the altar rail. It is our hope that you will take one of those pieces with you today. And for today or in the days to come, to write on one side, when you ask yourself the question, who am I? What is the first word that comes to you? It may be a joyful, celebratory word, a great declaration that makes you proud and energetic. And so we invite you to write that word down. If it is a word that comes from a hard past or from words that have been placed upon you, we invite you to write that down. And then we invite you, when you feel ready in these 11 weeks, to come back with this piece of paper whenever you can, to write down a different word on the other side. That as you continue to hopefully experience God's call upon your life, God's presence in your life, God's assurance and affirmation, that you are able to write a completely different word on the other side. A word that truly defines who you are in God's eyes. Not because of outside advertising or condemnation, but from God's affirmation. And so we will continue to have these pieces of paper throughout the altar during these 11 weeks. And so if you don't necessarily feel called or comfortable to do that today, if you're not ready, they will continue to be here throughout these 11 weeks. But it is our hope that we are able to see how this transformation is taking place. And again, you don't need to put your name on it. They can be anonymous. But we do hope that we're able to see how this transformation is taking place with all of us. What does the word say today? But then what might that word say in the future? When Punchinello the Wemmick approaches the house of Eli the woodcarver, he is first hesitant to walk in. And as he does walk in and he sees how huge and strange everything seems to be, he loses his nerve and he's about to walk away. But then he hears a voice call him, a voice which speaks words to him that he has longed to hear from his Creator. And maybe for us today, we long to hear those words as well. And so I invite us to participate in this litany together, which we will read responsively. You will read as the people. For the Creator speaks, "How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you. You know my name." The Creator speaks, "Of course, I made you. And I don't care what anyone else says. I think you're special. But I'm not very talented, and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you?" The Creator speaks, "Because you are mine. Because you are mine. That's why you matter to me. I'm not sure I understand." The Creator speaks, "You will, but it will take time. For now, come see me every day. And let me remind you how much I care." What if it's true? What if it's true? What if that's all it takes? Again, as Jason said, nothing that we necessarily do, nothing that would really give us a gold star or sticker, but simply visiting our Creator, being in the Creator's presence, listening to how the Creator tells us how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, because we are made by a Creator who creates us with love, in love, because of love. What if that's who we really are? We want to take these moments here just to thank our worship leaders, for Cindy and her amazing reading of Scripture this morning, for our worship leaders who guide us through music, and of course for very soon to be, as I said, Pastor Jason, for sharing the message and his story. It is through these gifts and dedication embodied by those here who help us remember our own gifts and our dedication. There is nothing special about us up here because all of us are gifted in different ways. It is our hope that you are able to experience God's love and complete awareness of who we are as people. For as the story ends, Eli says to Punchinello, "The stickers only stick if you let them." The more you come to care about how I care about you, the more you trust in my love, the less you will care about all of those stickers and marks that are placed upon you. And as Punchinello leaves, he says, "I wonder if it's true. I think it is." And a sticker fell off. And so it is our hope through these 11 weeks that these stickers, these marks, whatever identity has been placed upon us that does not fit, that is replaced by the identity that God has always had for us, that we will experience and know does fit, so that all those marks fall away and all that is left is that word that has been our word all along. So let us go as God's people, gifted in so many different ways, because every single one of them matters and every single one of them needs to be used to share with the world. Go as who you truly are, and let that be the richness beyond our wildest dreams. Go in God's love. Amen.